Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Chapter 5 is where I want you to go. You know, God has a specific purpose for your life. And that purpose was actually set long before you ever got to the planet. Actually, the purpose was set before the planet was ever created. The Bible says that Jesus was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So sometimes people think God is this very distant God, and that he could care less about your circumstance or your situation, which is entirely not true. What happened is that we know this. Sin got into the earth. Sin creates separation from God. But God has been pursuing humanity all along. In fact, he never stopped. Even though Adam and Eve had to be removed from what we call paradise, and they lost their natural immortality in sin, God still pursued them. And that's one of the biggest fights we have, not only that we're dealing with in the world, but then with believers, is the fear of abandonment from the Lord. Even though we know the scripture says he'll never leave us, circumstances, the enemy is constantly working circumstances and thought processes toward darkness and separation from God. The spirit of Antichrist, or the demonic, the darkness of this world, is constantly seeding hatred towards God, fear, doubt and unbelief, anger, frustration, accusatory comments toward God. I mean, you'll have people who are atheists who will curse God when something goes wrong. Isn't that kind of like not practicing your religion? I don't believe in a God, but something goes wrong. God, why did you? I thought you didn't believe in a God. See, it's more than, this world has more going on, and your life does, than just what you see here and what you feel here. God has actually been, has known you from before your parents ever had the idea that we're going to have a kid. Okay, I'll put it this way. Before you came into this natural world, God knew you in the heavens first. So, how many know if somebody knows you that well, it's probably best to cooperate with him? It's probably best to cooperate with him. And if you do, the more we cooperate with him, the more our life will have a reflection of his desires. The Bible says this, and we know this in Acts, and I've quoted this many times, but it's such a good passage of scripture. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So what is God's desire for you? It is good and healing. Now watch. Here's where people get the separation in the Christian world of our responsibility versus God's desire. People will look at that verse and then they'll judge their circumstance against the verse instead of taking the verse and putting it on top of their circumstance. So what I mean by that is this. They go, Lord, if you want me to have good, then why is all this bad going on? Instead of saying, Lord, you said you want good for me, so help me to cooperate with you so we can deal with the enemy who's causing killing, stealing, and destroying in my life and drive it out. And when you understand who you are in Christ, you can actually tread on serpents and scorpions, and as Luke says, over all the power of the enemy. Now, I'm not telling you that you'll get to the point where you don't have to fight the enemy in this life. There's only one place that you can go right now where there's not an enemy. Does anybody know where that is? Heaven. While you're on the earth, you are to what? Fight the good fight of faith. How many have ever been to a fight before? Okay, whether a paid one or a street one. How many? Anybody? I don't even care if you paid to enter or you just saw one. You know, how many went to high school? You've been to a fight before. Okay. All right. How many know in a fight, it doesn't do any good if you're going to win to roll over and cry? That's not what? That's not fighting the good fight of faith. Now, I hear it. I hear you. People say, well, I don't have the energy to fight. You're right, you don't. But in him, you do. Paul said, when I'm weak, stop fighting in the flesh. Stop, as Paul said, beating the air. Fight in the spirit. What does that mean, fight in the spirit? It means you are taking these promises and standing on them, not moving away from them, declaring them out of your mouth to the circumstances you know that are being influenced by your enemy behind the scenes. Paul said this, he said, we're not battling against flesh and blood. We're battling against what? Principalities, rulers of the dark, wickedness. That's what we're fighting against. Now, if the enemy can get you back into the physical mindset and get you fighting in the natural only, then you're going to be in trouble because he'll whip you there. But if you will go to the Spirit and you will say, no, it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. I know the thoughts that are coming against me. I understand the feelings that are coming against my emotions and against my physical man. But in the name of Jesus Christ, I follow my Lord and Master, and I declare, it is written, devil. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. It is written, devil, when I've done all I can to stand, I will stand therefore. It is written, devil, I submit therefore to God, I resist, and you will run, boy. And you're not running from me physically. It will happen that way. You're running from me because I'm now one with the one who defeated everything you had. My faith is not in me. You ever watch sports? Well, how'd you get this far? I believe in myself. That's a low level of belief. I believe in the one who purchased my salvation. The reason why I'm going to overcome is not because I'm amazing. It's because he has been glorified. It's not fair. You're right, it's not. It's faith. It's favor. It's grace. It's not law. It's not do's and don'ts. It's grace by faith. Through grace, by grace, through faith. By grace, through faith. It is by grace, which is unearned, undeserved favor. Well, I don't deserve the salvation. You're exactly right. You don't. It was given to you, but you can receive it, not based on your merit, but based on Christ's performance and his graciousness. Well, that's different than anything I've ever heard. Every time I go to church, they just tell me stop sinning. And I understand why they do. Sin leads to death. And I'm not just talking about you just sin and then you fall over dead. It's an incipient death. If you go back to the book of Genesis and you read Genesis chapter 3, you'll find out that that Hebrew word, when the Lord said, if you eat of this fruit, you're going to die, it actually says, in dying, you will die. In the Hebrew. It's an incipient thing. What does that mean? It gets in and it begins to work. And it works in the spirit of man if they don't have Christ, and then it works its way out into the flesh and the soul of man. And it creates death. That's why there's so much studying on the mind and the body and everything as far as the medical field and what they're trying to do. What are they trying to do? They're trying to reverse a spiritual process that began in the spirit. It didn't begin in the flesh. But if you start with the spirit and work the other direction like it originated, you'll win. You'll dominate it. Because when you and I were born again, we weren't born again in our head, and we weren't born again in our flesh. We were born again in the spirit first. If the Lord can get us to renew our thinking and crucify the flesh, and you will begin to release the resurrection grace that is within you right now. Amen. So Romans chapter 5, verse number 17, we're in the series, The Gift of Righteousness. And I know I gave you a lot of exhortation there, but we do have some new visitors, and then also I've had a week off, so I like to kind of gather everything back together a little bit. Romans 5, verse 17, we're talking about righteousness, and we gave a definition of righteousness, but I just want to read two passages of Scripture here before I go into the definition to show you some things that we just actually been talking about. Romans 5, 17 says, "For if by one man's offense," and that's Adam's, "death reigned through the one." So when Adam sinned, death came in. And it passed to all men, which a lot of times I used to think was unfair. Why am I punished for his? But the Lord one day, he spoke to me, he said, "Yeah, but I saved you through one man." Well, that reversed my thinking a little bit. Because how is it fair that I'm saved because of what he did? So God in his genius, because how many know God's a genius? I mean, if there was a word higher than genius, that would be God, right? That we know in our language. He went, "Oh, sin got in by one, I'll get it out by one." And so he met sin in that place and conquered it. So we see this here. Through one man's offense or sin, death reigned through the one. Look at this next part, these next two words. It says, "Much more those who receive abundance of" what? Abundance of grace. You don't just have a little grace. That word, you are, somebody say rich in grace. You are. That's what that means, abundance. You have a plethora. You have an overflow of grace in Christ. In other words, Christ didn't just barely save you. He stayed in the pit, in hell, until everything the devil could come up with was paid for. Watch now. Watch out for the religious spirit here. If he didn't, he has to come back and do it again. And guess what he does not have to do? He does not have to come back and do it again. He said, "It is finished. Now, I can accept that or reject that. But I don't know about you, I'm in. I accept abundance of grace. Abundance of grace is mine. You should walk around saying that. It's better than what some of you have been saying. I don't read your Facebook posts, so I don't know for sure, but that was the Holy Ghost. So, abundance of grace and the what? Gift, the what? The gift of righteousness will what? Reign in through the one, Jesus Christ. Come on, how many have ever had, you got problems around in your life? You got things going on in your life, right? We all have, the Lord promised us, this isn't on most people's fridge, but Jesus did say, in this life you'll have trouble. So he said, be of good. Oh, he didn't say whine and complain to him. Do you think sometimes the Lord turns the volume down on some prayers? Are they rejoicing yet? The angel's down there going, no. He said, no. Oh, they're rejoicing. The Lord's like, turn it up, turn it up, turn it up. He loves that sound. He said, count it all when you fall into various trials, right? Why? Because you know you're coming out because you've got the greater one on the inside of you. Amen. He said, you're going to have trouble in this life, but that's okay. Romans 5:17, the last part says, you will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Don't you just love that? Romans chapter 3, verse 21 and 22 says this, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law, somebody say apart from the law, is revealed. So can you be righteous by your works? You cannot. Now you can perform works of righteousness, but you can't earn your righteousness by your works. Oh yeah, I love it when we hit this point. I absolutely love it because the church is so confused on this. They're like, well, if I don't just do, you know, there are Christians that live in terror. If I do one thing wrong. And then there are Christians on the other side of the aisle. This is the world we live. For every mile of road, there's 2 miles of ditches. They go to the other side. Well, it doesn't matter what I do. Well, ask your wife if it doesn't matter what you do. Or your husband, or your children, or your... That's the other side where you get into what people call greasy grace. No, there's a middle road where there's no condemnation and there's not a life of lasciviousness. Huh. Amen. In other words, you say, where is that? That's reigning in life through the one. All right? So it says this, the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So the law and the prophets are in agreement with this righteousness apart from the law. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God through what? Through what? Through believing in who? It is to God's favorites, to the special ones. I know, it's to the preachers. It's to, you mean it doesn't matter what side of the track you were born on, so to speak? What end of the financial spectrum you live in the earth? It doesn't matter your gender. It's to and who? Oh my goodness. Thank you, Lord. I believe. Come on, this will make you happy the rest of the day if you just think about it. You say, people ask you, how are you so happy? I got righteous through faith, through believing. Yeah, but I know you. I know. We've known each other a long time. I know what you did. I know what you didn't do. I know that you did this. I know that you act this. Yeah, but I'm righteous by faith in Jesus Christ. And it is on me because I'm an all. And it is in me because I'm an all. I have chosen to believe. You say you can choose to believe? You absolutely have to choose to believe. Faith is not going to run you down, tackle you, and hold you down and go, you better start believing. You've got to choose to embrace these words. You've got to open your heart to the reality of these words, and you have to take in his word. And when you do, there's a culmination, a germination that takes place within the soil of your heart. When you hear those words, your heart is open to them. That spirit of faith that is in that word gets inside of you, which you chose to have implanted in you. And then you begin to fertilize, water, cultivate the reality of the righteousness of God, which is in Christ Jesus in your life. And then eventually you see a little bit of a green sprout that comes up, and then it begins to grow into a greater stalk, and then it begins to produce a leaf, and then it begins to produce fruit. In other words, if we can get you to recognize, to embrace the righteousness you received when you were born again, the fruit of that righteousness will begin to dominate your life. You will be like those apple trees when it's ripe season for those apples to be plucked. You will be going around with spiritual fruit, and people will be like, "What is going on? How did you get so weighted down with the presence and the byproduct of the resurrection of Jesus Christ?" And you can say, "I believe in what he did." A humble, willing, open heart is with that receives the word of God, that removes the weeds and the things of the world, is the greenhouse. It's the perfect environment for the resurrection, divine, incorruptible seed of God, which is Christ, to be able to grow and develop within you. And as we embrace that truth, the fruit of righteousness comes forth. In other words, if you yield to the Lord and do this right, you'll be more holy by accident than you ever tried to be on purpose. Oh, I got to give you a scripture before we quit. Romans chapter 8. Go to Romans chapter 8. Boy, Romans, man, you need to be careful how you study the scriptures, because there's a lot of confusion out there. I'll just recommend this. Don't type in righteousness on YouTube and watch every video that comes up. Amen. Got to be careful about that. I didn't get to my illustration, but I don't care. I'm believing God to say just the right thing for those that are watching online and you in the room. Amen? Are you believing with me? Yes. Do you know you're prayed for almost every day? If you call this your church, we pray for you. And we don't just pray, you know, "Oh God, help them." It's specific. And we don't pray with doubt and unbelief either. We pray in faith. I believe for every person that goes to this church that's a part of it, I believe with Paul in Philippians 1:6, that he who began a good work in you. Yeah. Well, you want to talk about taking the pressure off a pastor? It's not up to me. He who began a good work in you will complete it Ooh, there's people that don't believe that right now. You think, oh, I'm too hard of a case. Jesus has never met too hard of a case. Actually, if you could see it in the spirit, you'd see how minuscule your problem is compared to him and his resurrection. You should say this with me. Say this with me. Say, the Lord began a good work in me, and he will complete it. I'm going to work with him. He will complete it. I say it over myself. I say it over you. If I can get you to agree with him, we'll have some shouting testimonies. It won't be long. Romans 8. Some of you need to write this verse down and take it with you. Verse 13. Romans 8, 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Boy, that's bad. But somebody say, but. Look at the next part. But if by you what? You will. People will say this. They'll say, why? I don't know how I'm going to overcome. By the Holy Spirit. You have the power within you by the resurrection. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives in you. You have the power to dominate everything in your life that has had potential control over you. It's just, you don't just beat these things by willpower. You beat them by resurrection power. You engage your will into that resurrection power, and you can over, you know, you can live a life free of lust. I'm not saying it's not going to be present around. You don't have to yield to it. There is no weapon of the enemy that is greater than the one who lives in you. Now, you're going to be tested on it. Pastor Joey, you want to come? You're going to be tested on it. You know there's a test in Christianity? People are like, oh, no, they're going to hand out papers and pencils. Hopefully it's multiple choice, you know. Well, in a sense, it is multiple choice, but we're not handing out test papers today, okay? The moment you go out, the moment you get into everything that you have the rest of the week, you know what thoughts are going to come against you when you leave here? What that preacher said is true, but it isn't true about you. This is where the test comes in. You say, you can't do it. You can't overcome. And that's where, from within the Holy Spirit, you need to rise up and say, devil, it is written. Now, don't say it out loud in the grocery store when everybody's around you. Because they're going to think you called them all the devil. But when the thought comes, you could just very quietly to yourself, oh, no, that's not who I am. The devil's going to bring pictures to you of every time you failed, of every time you violated. You said, oh, God, I'm never going to do it again. He's going to bring that picture to you. And in the midst of that, you need to say, Lord, I thank you that you're not dealing with me according to my actions, but according to Jesus. And Lord, I don't want to repeat those things. And you said in your word in Romans 8, 13, that I have the ability with your help to overcome these things. And so I thank you for that power that is in me right now. And I go forth in that power. People say, well, what if I make a mistake? What if I go back and I sin? 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Well, does it mean I lost my salvation? No, it means you sinned as a saint. Boy, I could preach another 4 hours. You have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says this. It doesn't say when you sin, run away in fear. It says what? Come boldly, boldly. How many are you like, you're like me. You've sinned and you don't feel boldness all over you. But why would the Lord say that? Because the Father is looking at what Jesus accomplished and he's saying, you can come, you can come, you can come. The price has been paid. Come. Why would he want you to come boldly? Because he knows. If you run away in fear, there's only one other option to hang out with if you're not hanging out with him. And the further you go into darkness, the harder it is to get back. It's not impossible. It's just you make it harder on yourself. So just go ahead and humble yourself. Get in there in the throne room. If you got to run and slide on your knees and get before the throne and say, Father, I messed up. But your word says that if I would confess this, the blood of Jesus would cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Yeah. Yeah. I'm so excited about that. It's good news. Oh, I feel God, man, right now. He loves this. He wants you. Some of you, it's taken me this whole time. Some of you, you just need to go into the presence of God. You just need to go in, go home, shut your door, get quiet somewhere, find a place. I don't care if you got to throw your hoodie up over your head in the middle of a bunch of people and just quietly just put it over you and just go, Lord, I'm coming into your presence. I found out today that the blood of Jesus lets me in. And I believe in that blood and it works for me. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in here today and you need to receive Jesus, I just want you to raise your hand right where you're at. Yes, thank you. Anybody else? Yes, yes, yes. Anybody else? Yes. Anybody else want to join these? Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you. Anybody else? Yep. Let's make this the time, right? Let's make this the time. If I can have my altar care workers come, we're gonna pray. We have for you, after we pray, when we get done here in just a minute, just continue to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. We're gonna pray together with you. We're gonna go before the throne and you're walking out of there as shiny and clean as you can possibly be. Because the blood of Jesus never fails. It never fails. But after we get done praying, this is what I don't want you to do. I don't want you to run out in fear of coming up and talking to these. I want you to come forward. We have a gift for you that we want to get in your hands that has new believers stuff in it. And I want you to have it. You need it. The greatest, as a believer, one of the greatest weapons you have is knowledge of who you are in Christ. And so after we pray and we extend faith and you're going to be completely cleansed by the Spirit of God and the blood of Jesus and your heart's going to be completely changed, then we're going to have you come up and get that information. And your life is never going to be the same in the name of Jesus. So let's pray together. Say this with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for your son Jesus who came to this earth, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross for my sins. I believe he rose from the dead so that I could receive forgiveness, become your child, and receive the gift of eternal life. I come to you now and repent from my sin. I receive the gift of forgiveness. I receive your life, your resurrection life, into my heart. I believe that you have accepted me because Jesus said, the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. You also said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Thank you for saving me, making me your child. helping me live for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. Now you guys, bring those boxes in. Now listen, please don't leave without coming up. You can bring those up, Deanna. Yeah. Don't just get out of here. If you raise your hand, come up here and get these boxes and let these guys pray for you. Just come up in a group, in a mass that you that have. Just come up. Be bold. Be bold. I know several of you raised your hand. Come up and get these boxes. Amen. A few of you guys can come over here if you want. A few come over here. Just come over here and be with you. Come over here if you would. Hey guys, welcome to the family.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.